We're here in a cafe called Marmalade in Brighton. I'm with Graham Preecy. Graham, you are a startup, aren't you?
I am a startup. Yeah, that's why I'm in a coffee shop meeting you early on a Tuesday morning.
But people that don't know you may not know that you were a fairly senior manager in Legal & General, which is a gargantuan international company. People may have policies with them and various other products and services. But you made a decision in your career, and hopefully not too late in your career, to go back to your roots and start up in the town that you grew up in.
Yeah, it's been an interesting few months. So, yeah, I did. I worked for a big company. I did community investment for them. And I had one of those moments of revelation. So the guy that I'm working with at the moment, I went to school with in New Haven, a guy called Mark Beaumont. We met at a community fair. And he said, what have you been up to? And I said, this is what I've been doing for the past 20 years all over the world. And he said, that's great. That sounds like you've got lots of useful skills to help communities thrive. Why aren't you doing that where you grew up? And I didn't have an answer to that question. And it bugged me for a long time. And I thought, do you know what? He's absolutely right. Why aren't I putting stuff back, those skills and things that I built up around the world, and putting them back where I lived and where I played and where I rested and where I went to the beach and where I travelled across to France quite a lot when I was younger.
But we're talking here about now the New Haven Regeneration Group, but just stepping back into you working in a large corporation, you now with your business partner, kind of masters of your own business, you can touch the walls of your company and you can see them. It's smaller, it's more manageable in some ways. But what made you want out? Were you feeling in some way restricted in a large organisation, and being a small business would give you more control?
Yeah, it wasn't. Do you know what? It wasn't really about control. The walls we have are paper thin. In a small business, they are absolutely paper thin. Every single day, every single minute. But that's the cool bit. There is so many things, so many opportunities that you can do running a small business that you don't have the constraint of an agenda, a mission, a big mission with an organisation, with a big company.
But also, and it's much more now unpredictable. I mean, are you enjoying that? Because a lot of people going to go into larger organisations because of the predictability.
No, they do, yeah. The 9-to-5 is an interesting concept. It never really existed in big companies anyway. But we
was it the 9-to-7 or the 7-to-7?
It was the very expensive coffee in London and the overpriced sandwich and the long day. I think what I've learned over the past 9 months is you have to work out in the moment you're in, are you in work, rest or play mode? Because you don't get given that time, you don't get given a holiday. Holiday entitlement, what's that? Well, you have to work out what you're entitled to yourself.
But why would you do that?
Well, because when you're in a corporate environment, right, you get given entitlements to things. And you have to, there's a culture of having to earn time off. But in the real world, I think there's a, you have to mix it all up. When you're working harder, you have to go, it's now time to rest, it's now time to play. And every day you have to work out that mix.
But that also sounds like there's a danger that could just completely, a bit like the large organisation for some of them, that could just spill over into your family life and your personal life.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty busy there. The boundaries of time are pretty busy and you have to be really conscious of what that means for your family around you and your friends and your own need to adventure and travel to sustain your own energy levels. But that is entrepreneurship.
And so if you come out of that larger corporation after 20 years with a bit of savings and you start ploughing some of that and invest in you and your business, how do you ensure that you're not constantly starting up and watching that money leak away?
God, you ask tough questions, don't you? You have to very quickly create a sense of, I guess the rule I've kind of made up just through experience over the past 9 months is, can I see within 2 chess moves of what I'm doing now or this person I'm working with that it could turn into something that could generate something we can invoice or bill or create a product for the organisation that is in line with our mission. Our mission is to bring people into New Haven and to export products and services out to help grow the local economy. So if I can't see that within two or three steps, then you have to go, why are we doing this?
And so is there on a piece of paper something called a strategy for your startup?
There is on a piece of paper. The piece of paper changes. We don't spend enough time reviewing it, to be honest, because opportunities come up all the time. And the way I work with my business partner is actually you need to trust each other's judgment, see what you're good at, and you have to, if something comes up, you have to trust that person's long-term experience. You know, if you can sniff that there's something here that is in line with what we're up to, you've got to trust to allow them to go on a venture, find it, bring it back and go, there was a truffle at the end of this, or there wasn't.
As the tea arrives on our interview, which is fine, that's all right. So when you say it sounds like a sort of business plan, but isn't all the wisdom, is you're supposed to have it budgeted, you're supposed to have scenarios, you know, you need to persuade the bank, in this case you're the bank maybe, but you know, you've got to have this down to the detail, and you're saying no you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think once you get to a point where you need to attract money from other people to fund, that's the stuff that they need. I think we are in a world where if you as an individual genuinely, or as a team genuinely want, see an opportunity, people expect you to invest time and your own money first to prove it. And I think we're in this world of that is the world we're in. It's not going for other people's money first without trying stuff and knowing what it feels like to run a film company as we do, or run a venue, or run a startup cruise. Unless you really understand what that feels like to run it and to get on with it, and the struggle to do that and to create those opportunities for people, that's what gives you the character to be able to sit in front of someone else with their own money and say, actually, this is what it really takes to do it, and this is why I need your money to make this happen.
Now, last question. You mentioned the startup cruise, which is a project that you're involved in, which is, you know, going on a boat for a few hours and arriving somewhere, and on that journey, that unique journey of being out at sea, using that to progress something in your startup significantly. So if you're on that startup cruise for New Haven Regeneration Group and you've got a few hours, what currently would you want resolved, would you want to explore for your company by the time you arrived in another country?
Yeah, so that you're right. I need to benefit from our own product that we've created. Yeah, I mean, the startup cruise is... I use the boat a lot, and I find it a really, really useful place to get some fresh air, get your head straight. I love the fact that there is... you're connected for probably the first hour on Wi-Fi, and then you're in the dead zone. And the dead zone means it's you and the people around you, and it's real conversations without any external interference.
So you literally feel it's a benefit to be all at sea. The connections break, and the only connections you've got are those absolutely physically around you.
Yeah, it is so, so important, because it's where you can just grab a small chunk of time with your own thoughts in the elements, in the unpredictable elements, and it's where you get real moments of clarity at sea, in my experience. And that's where else can you get that in life?
So what are those uncertainties at the moment for New Haven Regeneration Group, a startup? What sort of things would you be asking specifically about your company?
Yeah, I think the short term, there are obviously the what Brexit really means for kind of the flow of people and products across the channel. You know, so the link between New Haven and Dieppe's been in place for a couple of hundred years nearly. What does that really mean? Will that mean that less people come to New Haven because it's more difficult to travel? My personal view is people love to adventure.
And so that's a big question. What about the little, they're not smaller questions, but what's the business really up to, you know, around the New Haven? What are you struggling with? What would you like to get inspiration on?
Well, we're currently looking at a really big venue to turn it into an incubator space, and we've seen a really good model in Dieppe, and we'd like to bring elements of that that work in the UK across the channel. So I'm going to be on that cruise because I've got a space that I need some inspiration of how to fill it with entrepreneurs in New Haven. And I know there'll be entrepreneurs on the cruise that will maybe come and want to join that adventure. And I know there's some people in France that want to bring, could be potential tenants for us, to come and try the UK market with their products, who are sat there in Normandy going, how do I get across 180 degrees of fish and come and put my products into the UK? So I'm looking for people to come and join the adventure that we're about to start with an incubator in New Haven.
Graham Preecy, thanks very much. Looking forward to joining you on the startup cruise.
Thank you very much.